that is the supreme regulatory framework. However, in our inquiry here, we have also discovered that the Broadcasting Act is silent on certain things and weak in describing certain things. So the recommendation that we must then make after this is there may be a need to amend the Broadcasting Act. In fact, I would use the word modernize the Broadcasting Act in order to, for it to speak to both the SABC needs and the Companies Act. Because that's where it's going wrong. Where the Companies Act is very clear, the Broadcasting Act seems to be weak then. So if we modernize it and we align it with all those, then there won't be a need for the MOI to either look to the Companies Act or to the Broadcasting Act. There will only be one act which has been modernized and strengthened. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, I thought that Honorable Swart, and as a legal man, to his credit, has captured this very well. And let's not spoil it. Let's leave out all these words, modernize and what have you. It's going to take its course when that process unfolds. I think it captures, it covers all of us, because I think Honorable Chauke agrees, Honorable Mokwena agrees. It's just that it's bringing in terminologies that are, to me, are not like legally sound.
Chair, I just want to make an appeal. Because we are at a stage of recommendations, let us be straight to the point so that even for the ones that are going to implement this are able to understand what we are saying. We came with all the motivations and other things in our observations. These recommendations are springing from our motivations. So we can't have 700 words as one motivation. Let us be straight to the point so that we are easily understood. Thanks.
Honorable Chair,
the point of yours is that as we recommend, we must be able to delegate the recommendation to a certain body to implement. So we must be able to say, if we identify a particular recommendation, we must be able to say that if it's a legislated recommendation, we have to recommend to Parliament to correct the defect. So that we are specific. It's not, we have a very good recommendation, but it does not say who must do it. So I thought that if we recommend a body that must implement. Chair, can I put you for the please, you know that. We must be saying that we must, unless we don't have to speak. If you don't make sense, then let it be so. I'm trying to make sense out of what I know. I'm saying that, Chair, that in the recommendation, I was adding from what Honorable Swart was saying, that at the last, let us put this recommendation with a clear identifying the person that must, the body that must implement this recommendation, the one that must correct the defect that we have identified. The proposal I was making is the line at the bottom that says this Parliament then starts the process of dealing with that question.
Let me read what Honorable, I think it's capturing everything. This is a suggestion by Honorable Swart. The committee holds the view that the Broadcasting Act is the principal legislation that governs the operations of the SABC, full stop. It recommends that Parliament consider amending the Broadcasting Act and, if necessary, the Companies Act to create legal certainty in this regard. All right. Where was that supposed to be now? 2-1. 1-1. That's the second sentence, right? So what are we saying about the first sentence? It says as it is, we change the word very to extremely.
No.
What are you saying?
There were different views, whether we leave it or we exclude it. So I think that extremely we agree. But do we leave that about changes to the MOI or do we delete it? And there were different views.
Okay.
We must get a consensus.
We're not arguing about the content, it's just where it's placed. Is it placed here? Or is it placed on what I'll call the Makosi contribution, because we'd asked her to contribute. We're not disputing where it is. We're agreeing that nothing changes other than very becomes extremely. And we will decide whether it goes to the MOI or it stays here. That's where we can leave it. Do you want to say something, Baba? Yeah.
My worry is that if we leave it there, Chair, which check, if we leave it in where it is now, the yellow part, the yellow sentence, what is it speaking to? Which changes? Because the MOI that we're discussing now is the one that had changes is invalid. Does that make sense?
We're not going to have a big fight about location, Matua. Yeah.
How one interprets the sentence. If you think it's the current MOI that was signed by the minister and not submitted for approval, then yes, it should come up. But if you read the sentence and you read it as the Karim MOI, which is the current one, which did take powers away from the board, right? Then it should stay in, and that's why we need to clarify which MOI it is. There's only one MOI that's legal, and that still exceeds its mandate.
Right, let's leave it where it is for now. We'll hear what Makosi's contribution is, and if we must repeat it in both of them, it's fine.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Thank you very much. So that deals... All right. So 1-2-1 and 1-2-2 is done. Okay, it's fine. Cindy says that the first part that we've been debating now she'll have as first bullet point. The one that says the committee, therefore, is the second bullet point. And then we have 1-2-2 will be now become 1-2-3. I'm saying that one. So we'll make it 3 bullet points. Bearing in mind that the first one we'll decide tomorrow whether we put it in both places or in one place. Yes, sir.
And what about the validity of which MOI? That is the first, that must be the first point. Okay.
That one is covered, yeah. All right, that deals with point 2. Dr. Kosa, you want to speak on point 2? Well, when I say point 2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
You know, Chair, I'm not sure whether this is a formatting issue, but I thought that, are we on 2? Hey. Okay, all right, maybe when we get to 2-2, because I'm thinking that maybe the appointment and induction of new board of directors should come before the MOI and shareholder compact, because it speaks to governance issues.
No, it's fine, yeah. Let's agree that we like the body, and then we'll decide where we put it later on. Let's just agree that we like the body. When I say the body, the content of it. All right. Thanks. So can we move then to point 2, which talks to appointment and introduction?
Just one quick little one word, and that is the heading of the previous paragraph we dealt with is MOI and the shareholder compact, but it's now also applicable legislation. So we should just add in applicable somewhere there, MOI, comma, applicable legislation and the shareholder compact.
Yes.
Happiness?
Yes.
Thank you. Point two, appointment, again, also has two bullet points, 2.2 and 2.3, and that talks to appointment and induction of new board directors. Members want to make recommendations on that. Can we have views? Childcare, anybody else? COSA, Singh, Childcare.
Thank you very much, Chair. Point 2.2, Chair, I'm proposing that we put a timeline for induction. That within a month after the appointment of the interim board, there should be induction. You remember one of the biggest problems was that it takes some time after 2-3 years before they started the process of attempting to induct. So let us be maybe specific on at what point, because we are saying that we are insisting in fact that there must be induction, and therefore it must be done immediately, even before they assume, you know, the major responsibilities as the members of the board. So I think that if we had to put up a line that sort of instruct them at what point, clear timelines, I'm suggesting that.
Honourable members will talk to all those things and we'll try and reach convergence. Just make notes with members where you want to talk. And then let's go to Dr. Koza.
I think it, upon reflection, I think 2.1 sufficiently covers what I wanted to say, and 2.2 I think is adequate, but I'm not fully, necessarily opposed to us putting timelines, except that the if we are putting timelines, sometimes you have, you know, if maybe you have a vacancy due to death or something like that, or resignation, that person must be inducted. And I'm not sure if we put timelines, we are beginning to prescribe even things that, because it's going to be occurring all the time whenever there is a new vacancy. I'm not sure, Chair, but I wouldn't be violently opposed to put in timeline.
No. We've got Honourable Singh.
Chair, thank you very much. There are just some typos in the first part of it, which you can pick up and don't leave them as they are. Second line communication, third line from the bottom, similar. Right? And then on 2.2, the committee recommends that the interim board and all subsequent boards, I don't know if it's boards or board members, are we talking to people being inducted or an abstract thing called board? I think that board members and all subsequent members, you know, of the board be inducted.
Perhaps we can cover Honourable Kosa's problem by saying the committee recommends that the shareholder should ensure that the interim board and all subsequent boards are conducted within reasonable time, so as or receives an induction program within reasonable time, so as to ensure that their full understanding of the board's duties and responsibilities is adequately communicated or whatever. If we do that, then we are giving, yes, but it is the responsibility of the shareholder to ensure that the board of the corporation knows what they are doing. So if we can do that, then we don't just leave it sort of in the air. And I think then we cover Honourable Chowke's concern with regards to the timelines, because there was evidence before us that there was an initial induction program, and then thereafter they just didn't get around to completing it.
Chair, I wanted to check with my colleagues if after Broadcasting Act we continue in this fashion in 2.1, further recommends that the appointment of the new board should be a public process wherein all shortlisted candidates are subjected to vetting by the state security agency.
Chair, two things. I don't know whether we should make reference to the public protector, but if we say it should be a public process, transparent and public process, I think it suffices. If we say, like, I don't know, doesn't, but and then the, with regards to the board. With the induction. The induction process is guided by the company, I mean, what you call the Company Act and the King, what you call, and it's obviously changed from time to time, it evolves. And I don't think that we should, and it's not the responsibility of the shareholder. Is the responsibility of the company secretary. So we mustn't just make recommendations that go against the guiding principles and law. So it's a company secretary.
Honorable members, we're not very far away. I agree. It's the company secretary. So we're going to take away shareholders. There's no debate. We're taking away within 1 month, we say within reasonable time. Are you insisting on 1 month, Comrade Chauke said, Honorable Chauke said 1 month. You're fine, all right. I'm just trying to get us so that we're done. Then the other one was take out the reference from the public protector. It must just be an open process, open and transparent process. You don't have to put like the public protector. And then there was the issue that the shortlisting or at the process of shortlisting, there must be vetting and so on. I never heard anybody saying yes or no about that one. What is the view on that one? Is it there already?
No, but Chair, is it your interim board, that vetting takes 6 months to do. How are you going to get an interim board urgently? That can be a problem with the appointment of the interim board.
No, we'll ask Rolive because she was the one that brought it on the table. Yes, ma'am?
Chair, when I rephrased that, I wanted to accommodate that because we are not referring to the interim board when we talk of vetting. We are referring to the formal board because if I can read it as it will appear, after Section 13 of the Broadcasting Act, you put a full stop. Further recommends that the appointment of the new board should be a public process where all shortlisted candidates are subjected to vetting by the state security. I propose that then the further sentence reads in that fashion. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, Chair, but there's two processes with the State Security Agency. When we did the public protector, there was an initial letter from State Security that just said they've got no initial concerns about these shortlisted candidates, or there is a concern, there's a criminal, they do a quick SAPS check. Then there is a lengthy vetting process of the final candidates. But I think it's fine. Let's just leave it at this stage, Chair. Leave it.
You are, you're covered. No, not 1 month, within reasonable time. Where must it come in? You say the interim board, the committee recommends that the interim board and all subsequent, not board, board members, by the way, we change this to board members, 2.2, should be inducted so as to ensure their full understanding of the duties of board members and their responsibilities within reasonable time. Something to that effect. Oh, is it? Yeah. Mukana?
No, Chair. Just
to 12, Baba, no? Yeah.
No, I need to take us back.
I have to. The Broadcasting Act is sitting in front of the committee now, as we speak, of the portfolio committee. My worry is that the train may have left the station. We might be sitting here talking about it, and those changes are being thing in the I don't know. I need guidance from Honorable Killian, because then it would affect our. Can I just get guidance on that, and then we can move from it, Chair. I just need, because I'm worried that we might be too late.
We can never be too late until it's adopted in the House, I would imagine. So there might be, first of all, I don't even know where the process is, but I'm saying it's work in progress. This thing will be at the National Assembly in the next couple of days and hopefully debated within the week. It certainly is going to, it's going to get to Parliament before the Broadcasting Act gets to Parliament. I'm sure that's going to be the process. I'm confident that this one will get there, adopted or otherwise, before the Broadcasting. Yeah, I thought we did. 1.2.2 we've done, isn't it? Cindy's not sure. I know we're dealing with 2.2, but Cindy just wants to make sure. 1.2.2 we've done and we're happy with. There's no changes. Okay. All right. 2.1 and 2.2, and I guess, Honorable Killian, there where you say delete is in fact delete. That's the top of page 3. Yes or no? We're saying delete, Honorable Killian? Thank you. Is there any more additions to appointment and induction of new board members that members want to put in? No. Thank you. The next point talks to risk mitigating steps, and that is 2 points as well. I'm assuming that members are looking at all our documents. Remember, Honorable Khoza, you must just make sure that everything is covered, as you asked us earlier on. Anybody wants to venture 2.2, 3.1 and 3.2?
Just to explain to members on the document that you tabled, Cindy tabled, 3.1 was actually 20.1.9, and 3.2 was 20.1.7. So it is just the location and the new heading, just to explain that. And obviously then there are just a suggestion that we stipulate the time, the year, since January 2014 or whatever, should be evaluated to determine the legality. And then secondly, the deletion proposed is reviewed in an attempt to identify ending zoning. You know, the sentence was just a little adjusted, but the essence remains the same. And 3.2 is just because the Broadcasting Act stipulates what the minimum subcommittees are. The Broadcasting Act is introduced there. And it is just important that, and any other applicable legislation, that would refer to the PFMA, you know, risk committees, etc. So that is audit committees, etc. So those two, that's just the explanation.
Chair, thank you. Just in line... Where are we? Line 3. Yeah. So it's legislation, whatever. The committee recommends that all board decisions taken and appointments made, I'd like inserted there, since January 2014, should be, and then I see, as Honourable Killian said, we had reviewed him before and it's changed to evaluated. I would like to, I think reviewed is a stronger, reviewed is a stronger word than evaluated, and I think we need to reinsert the word reviewed there. It's just my suggestion. Then in 3.2, we said that what we would do throughout the document is put the Broadcasting Act before the Companies Act, because it's the primary act, or the principal act. So if we could just do that. Thank you, that's all I've got.
Chair, who's going to do it? It. 3.1, who's going to evaluate? Is it going to, then we must say the board must evaluate. That's a massive amount of work, so I presume that's the board. So I'd say we need to say the board should evaluate it. That's the first thing. The second part about the establishment of board subcommittees doesn't really fit into that. Because here we've got an evaluation and then the establishment of board subcommittees. But I don't have a major problem with it. It just doesn't seem to fit in. But let's leave it at that. Time is late. I would just insert the board must do that evaluation. Thank you, Chair.
Just a small matter. I wanted colleague Killian to remind us. In January 2014, is this a period when the board ceased to correct? Or is it the date that we are just picking up for? I just want to be clear in my mind.
If I may respond, we have said the last 3 years. Now, perhaps we can pinpoint it to the incoming new board, which was September 2013, to be exact. That is when the Chabalala board came into being. That was after the interim board's period lapsed. The interim board's period stopped on the 24th. That, we must then know, will not include the multi-choice decision-making process. So if the committee feels that should be extended, or, you know, we should go back to the period of the interim board, or, you know, whatever, then obviously we should do that. The reason is that there was also evidence before the committee that even during the period of the Nkubane board, I mean, the public protectors report is clear evidence that there were some problems within the board there as well. But this timeline, I don't want to suggest anything. I was just trying to stipulate a date because the original recommendation referred to 3 years, Chambers.
What makes us think that this board will be able to overturn a previous board's decision? I'm just asking that question as you respond to it. That's what we seem to be saying here, that this board must come on, the new board must come, look at what was done in 2013, and then take another decision. I'm just trying to understand what were we trying to achieve on this one, but I'm saying as you respond, honourable members, try and help me on that one because I don't quite understand it. It's Khoza and Loliwe. Remember, we're still running with the 3-minute rule. It's almost midnight.
I actually align myself with your sentiments that have been expressed. And secondly, Chair, we've already been talking about the cash flow challenges that SABC has. And if we are going to be using even terminologies such as reviewing, the legality of those board decisions and so forth, we may actually be attracting, it will carry financial implications because there may be other things that may happen that may have gone wrong. So what I am proposing instead, I am saying we should rather say The board, I take what Honorable Swart said, I agree with him that we should say the board should consider evaluating the legality of board's resolutions and appointments with a view of ensuring that, you know, the appropriate mitigating steps are taken to limit legal and financial risk exposure. Something to that effect. In other words, when you are saying should consider, you are not, they must also be mindful that they have to take into account the financial implications and all that. Whereas if you are saying them, they should review, you are already saying they must change this decision. And they need to weigh, you are giving them the option of weighing. I understand where you are coming from, Honorable Waters, but my main concern is that I think we should allow the board to be able to weigh the risks and to be able to also, you know, assess whether it's within affordability. Can they afford that process? And they have to take a number of other factors into account, which is why we should be recommending, we should be saying rather they should consider. That would be my suggestion, Chair, whichever way that it can be put. But I'm worried about us dictating what the board must do.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think the nation's interest is stability in the institution. If, for instance, we say they need to review decisions that have already been taken, where are they going to start? Because if you trace the issue of MOIs, it dates very far. It means they'll have to start by reviewing the work of the interim board, coming to the board that has lapsed currently, and then start doing their work later on. Where will the institution be at that time? I think let us rather craft 3.1 such that it carries the same sentiment as 3.2, where we say from the day they start their work, it has to be according to the correct pieces of legislation.
Chair, you said a long time ago that I wanted to say, Chair, you said a long time ago that, you know, we need to look into the principle of possibility and reasonableness. Those basic principles are at stake here. If you say they have to do this work from the previous years, reviewing, it's nigh impossible. And it kills the principle of reasonableness and possibility. But the word consider does somehow give us a green light. But I would say from the period of their inception, then onwards, rather than going back. Otherwise, it would be very difficult.
Okay, and then, Matalo, we did it with 3.5 and
3.5. No, Chair, I'm going to be a bit controversial, Chair. Maybe as we deal with our recommendation, we must not lose sight of the public protector's remedial action. Somehow you may find that, in fact, they speak to one another. It's a point that I'm just throwing, but I don't have a comment now on this one.
No, I agree with the colleagues who are saying we should not make a decision or a recommendation that is going to be impractical to implement. You see, We are talking about non-executive board. They normally would sit four times in a year, unless if we expect them to be permanent, which is not something that is happening. So we actually are going to collapse this board. You cannot expect them to move forward looking backwards. It's not gonna work. I think let's make reasonable recommendations that everyone, even Parliament, would accept. I mean, it's like saying when you, start Parliament or the next Parliament, review the whole decisions that were taken in the past. Just can't work. I think let's apply our minds so that we help these people to apply their minds. What is crucial is to fix SABC. Remember, we've got things that we've identified that must be fixed. My view is that's their primary responsibility. We've identified those things. We need forensics, and I think that's what they should be dealing with. But if you say go and review, I can't support that proposal, Chair.
Chair, I think I had a problem with Honourable Waters' suggestion about a review. However, after Honourable Loliwe's contribution, I am honestly persuaded that we want a forward, and Honourable Mahlangu and Honourable Kubisa, Prof. There, I'm really persuaded that we should go with Honourable Loliwe, because it's practical. We wanted to restore governance, and we want SABC to get back to its glorious or whatever days.
Killian, and then Singh.
Chairperson, no, it is fine. I just wanted to say it was particularly because, remember, this provision is in the current recommendations. It's current recommendation 20.1.9. Now, it was there that we said reviewed, and I thought it would be not appropriate for incoming board to review earlier board's decisions. That's why I suggested we should rather go with evaluation, with an idea of taking risk mitigating steps. If anything was wrong, say for instance there was not a quorum, you know, that then when a particular agreement was sort of entered into, rather take the necessary steps so that they could not be. But it's fine. If members want the entire section to be removed, please, I'm not married to it. I was just trying to relocate it and to make it more practical. And secondly, I would strongly suggest that this is possibly where we should bring in reference to the public protector, because I would have argued that that is a risk mitigating step. And then lastly, I think comments made with regards to the subcommittees. It's true. I just didn't feel that I should remove the reference to subcommittees entirely, and therefore it was parked here, but it can go anywhere or it can go out.
Yeah, Chair, you know, this is a difficult one. We don't want to render this board dysfunctional. Nobody would want to serve on this board. But if they know that there's so much work that they'll have to do. But at the same time, I mean, early on we had a debate about the amended MOI, which we say is of no force in effect. There could be decisions taken on the basis of clauses within that MOI, which we have said are rendered invalid. How do you correct this? How do we correct those decisions? There could be people dismissed from work on the basis of somebody didn't like them, and we've heard evidence to that effect. How do we correct that? There could have been people appointed to positions who should not have been appointed, but because they were friends of friends, they got appointed. What latitude are we giving, or what are we saying about correcting some of these things that have gone wrong in the past? But then it begs the question, how far back do you go? But But there has to be some corrective action taken so that, you know, people who are prejudiced for reasons other than, you know, legal reasons, there can be some kind of redress. And it doesn't help the debate in terms of time frame, but there has to be a provision for some kind of redress. Thank you.
Can I make a suggestion, honourable members? You see, we've got 2.2 that says this board must be inducted to do the right thing. We said they must be inducted to do the right thing. What we run the risk of doing here, honourable members, once we dictate what the board must do, we can't oversee them and fight with them tomorrow, because they're going to be saying, but this is what you told us to do. So we must be very careful that you can't go and micromanage the executive and want to become the overseer of the executive. And that is why I'm saying, for me, 2.2 says appoint a board, do it transparently, and let this board do its business. And it ends there. Now, I hear everything about retrospective correction and so on. That can't be the role of legislatures to do that, because then I think we are crossing over into the executive. We should just say, do your job, and let's oversee you. That's my view. Because remember, we're going to take this to Parliament, and then we don't want them to throw out our recommendations, because one, it's not workable, and two, we might be crossing the line of separation of power. And that's all that I'm saying. And my proposal, firm proposal, is that it is sufficiently covered in two. Because the accounting authority, if it, I mean, 2.2, we never ever go to the DG and tell him everything. We say to the DG, we assume that you're going to understand the PFMA, and leave it at that. But here we're almost wanting to micromanage. That's all that I'm saying. So my proposal is that we don't need three risk mitigating. It's part of the responsibility. Doc?
Chair, can I recommend the way we phrase this that takes into account all of us? I mean, I hope it does. I was saying, in the light of the overwhelming evidence of external interference and non-compliance with the Broadcasting Act, the Companies Act and other relevant legislation, the committee recommends that the new board takes reasonable steps to regularize the previous decisions that may have the potential of posing a financial or legal risk, something to that effect, Chair. And I'm saying, because what they can do, it's either they can get in and take a resolution, basically. They don't necessarily, they may use their own discretion to say, you know, they can take a resolution to regularize some of the things that may have happened, you know, which notes that there was a stage when this institution was dysfunctional or something like that. And if they do that, that way they would have regularized those, and therefore they limit or they reduce their risk exposure.
Just us to be consistent. Remember, we had been arguing that the Broadcasting Act comes first, and I would have recommended it's just a small technical thing. Okay. that we, instead of saying with the Companies Act, we say with the Broadcasting Act, Companies Act, and any other applicable law.
Can we move on? Restoring good corporate governance, 411, 412, 413, and 414. Honourable Swart and Lolive.
Chair, briefly, we discussed the appointment of a forensic investigator, but Chair, we need to understand the SABC's cash strapped. They've got the AG is busy doing it on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The forensic audit should only go into irregular appointments, the other aspects, the suspicious contracts. I've got a proposed wording here that the committee recommends that the interim board and, if necessary, the new board should urgently engage the Auditor General to address all its findings relating to irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as well as to initiate disciplinary steps against any officials as required by Section 51(1)(e)(3) of the PFMA who made and committed irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The Auditor General is doing all that work. Full stop. Take all that away because we'll save hundreds of thousands of rands for the SABC. Secondly, the public protector is still busy with the investigation. Thirdly, the National Treasury is busy with an investigation. Fourthly, there's a forensic unit that's busy. I don't know if it's SAPS or who. So there are three other investigations pending. So we've got to find all these other bodies are doing investigations as well. We don't want to duplicate matters, but we do need a forensic investigation into the suspicious contracts, whether they are appointment contracts and that, and I think we need to separate that. So it's very easy, I'll give you that wording, Chair. Then the second part is we say an independent forensic investigation into suspicious, questionable transactions, irregularly awarded contracts. And that's a lot smaller, and in so doing, we've just saved the SABC millions of rands. Are you happy? Because the Auditor General is on top of all that fruitless, wasteful expenditure.
Your proposal is therefore covering from 4.1 to 4.4.
Well, it's basically 4.1.1. It's dealing with that part first. It's separating where we say forensic investigation into all irregular fruitless. We want the Auditor General to continue working with that.
I'm trying to understand. So you're saying that must replace 4.1.1?
Yes, what I'm proposing is 4.1.1.
Okay. Then we'll see if we still need 4.1.2 and 4.1.3 after that. But we're happy more or less with the suggestion from Swan. Lolive?
Thanks, Chair. I'm happy with Honourable Swart's input, except why don't we give this responsibility to the board so that a need is seen for urgent appointment of the permanent board rather than relying on the interim one for too long. 4.12, where we have review, let's apply the same principle applied to 3.1. Because if we then direct the interim board to review feasibility of business case, let's find a way of crafting that one using the spirit of Mr. Swart's trust in the previous instance. Thanks, Chair.
I can cover that by just saying the committee recommends that the interim board or, if necessary, the new board, then we can see. Then they don't have to do this.
Let's take Mafango and then Mopena.
Chair, I think the recommendation by a colleague here is perfect, and I think the rest of the other things that are contained up to 4.14 are in line with what he has said, and I think they all speak to the same message, and I think it's just a beautiful flow. So my view is that we take what he has said as an initial one, and the others remain as they are. And we're done.
No, Chair, just a quick one. At the top of page 4.1.3, that we must not lose whatever the changes we make
and possibly this is a note to whoever's going to make the changes, that we must not lose the essence of that second line, that appropriate steps must be taken against any current or an end former employees and board members who are found to have been complicit in the SAPC, whatever. Corrective measures, disciplinary measures must be taken. We must not lose that sense. Thanks, Jim.
Well, Swartz, you will try and do that for us, capturing those, and a strong recommendation that where guilty parties are found, they must face the music.
Yeah.
All right. That deals with 4.1. 4.2, that's human resource management. Do we want to say? And there we've got 4.2.2 up to 4.2.7. And please, Honourable Dr. Khoza, make sure that we haven't missed anything from that other document that we originally started. Anybody wants to venture comment on 4.2?
No, Chair, this is a long-term, short-term recommendation. I propose that we task this to the interim board, and we remove the board. The interim board must do this exercise. These are key positions that they can do within their time of appointment, which is a 6 months. So if we are to leave it to be implemented in the next round, it may create more problems, because individuals that are currently there, they're in the 18 position. So I propose that we task this to the interim board. To comment.
Yes, Chair. Yeah, Chair, the same point, but I thought the interim board must begin the process to do whatever. The process might not be completed, and see, we can't leave it open-ended because we don't know when the new board will be appointed. It could take a year, year and a half, with the kind of openness and transparency that we are asking for. So the interim board must begin all these processes.
Chair, I'm looking at 4.2.1. There's nothing there. It's just a heading. 2.1. So I suggest something be done in terms of numbering them. With numbering, Chair. Because after that heading, we have 4.2.2. So the judge should take note of it.
Yeah, Chair, I'm looking at the penultimate end of the paragraph. The sentence that reads, the candidates should be vetted as is required for the position at that level, and their performance reviewed in line with the approved performance management system. We are talking about filling of senior management positions. And then all of a sudden we talk about reviewing performance. When does that begin? The candidate should be vetted. And then their performance reviewed in line with the approved. Or at the appropriate time. Yeah. Because we don't just appoint that review, performance.
Chair, I wanted to say, please, can we leave what Honorable Killian has recommended there, that the interim / new board, the reason being that we may find that, as Honorable Singh was saying, maybe the interim board may initiate the process, but depending on the circumstances, the new board might actually find itself under pressure to get a turnaround strategy CEO. I'm just making an example. So let's leave that open, you know, so that whichever structure that is there, it ensures that happens. In other words, I'm saying we retain what Killian has done. To me, I think it's going to make more sense. And that the candidates should be vetted, the deadline, the candidate should be vetted and required for positions at that level, and their performance appraised, reviewed in line with the approved performance management system.
Right. No, I hear what you're saying. Can I just on the first point, and let us motivate why we say the interim board. I mean, from where I'm sitting, if we say the interim stroke new board, the interim board could say, well, we're not going to do it because it's the new board's response. I think we have to be specific and say, you coming on board, start it, and hand the baton over. But if we say the interim or new board, they'll be saying, but there was no direct to me. It was optional. I'm just asking the question. I'm not debating with you. I'm just saying, I would imagine recommendations must be, and somebody said that earlier, and I think it was the only way. Let's be very clear what we say. Let's just be very clear, you do it or you don't do it. That's just the point that I'm raising. But take into consideration what Doc said. Chauke, and then Doc, you can respond after that.
Chair, I thought you have sort of closed it and given a direction. This is informed by the principles that you have agreed upon, that will identify certain recommendations which are short term. And this area is one of the most urgent areas that need to be attended to. On that note again, I want to propose that we remove the senior managers and the food executive, because these are executive positions. So I propose that we remove the
Chair, maybe I'm speaking from experience. And I think that is very important. You may actually find that the interim board may actually require urgently in the team, in these top three positions, possibly they need a turnaround, specifically a turnaround strategist who is going to assist them with even the recruitment of, in setting up the process for the recruitment of the other executives, the top executives. So that is why I am saying, if you are going to be saying the interim board is only, you only limit them into initiating the process, you are constraining them from going further into appointing a top executive who may be a turnaround strategist that they may need to assist them in fulfilling their obligations. Remember that these people, I mean the interim board, are not permanent. But they may need somebody they can trust who is permanent, who is going to be doing all the spade work, who's going to be doing all the work and coming back with recommendations to them and so forth. And I don't think if we limit the interim board to only initiating processes, it is adequate enough. I don't think it is consistent with the kind of crisis that we are dealing with at SABC.
Members of are saying that we should leave interim / new board, and others are saying because it's short term, let's say the interim board kickstarts the process. That's really the issue that we are discussing here. And 1, 2, 3.
I agree with the dog around the challenges and the difficulties of getting the right people. But what is very important is to kickstart the process. And therefore, I'm going to propose here that in line with what you have just proposed, it may be, the process may be kickstarted by the interim board. So we must be specific to say the interim board should start the process. Where they end the 6-month process, we know. When they end, they can hand over a process that they have started with the new board that comes in. But someone will have to start this chair. So, as you say correctly, that the interim board can come in and then say, no, not our responsibility, it's not our. And the individuals that you're dealing with, not to be specific, in fact, dealing with names, you're dealing with people whom we believe very strongly that some of them were appointed regulars. You know, let me not even get to that thing, but I think here, Chair, let's stick to that point, but emphasize that let the interim board start the process. Once the interim board starts, then you start with stability in the organization, because these key positions, everybody's acting there, and we're not, with the challenges that we have identified, you may not want to allow acting to an extent that will wait for the new board to come in. So I'm saying that, with respect, obviously, that this process will have to be started by the interim board.
Given the high churn around of senior executives, all senior executives now, so that's the three that's mentioned here plus the other 11, can I ask the logic, why are we limiting this to the three? I know they're the three most important, but the other 11 executive positions are also important if we're going to turn the, you know, there's 11, that's what I was told anyway. So there's 14 in total. I mean, why are we limiting it to the three? Why not to all 14? If I can, given that I believe only two of the positions are currently filled full-time, the rest are all acting. And I agree that the interim board should start the process. They won't finish it within 6 months.
Four, two, three.
Excuse me?
I wanted to say, the reason why I was happy with the three, it's because I was moving from the assumption that the three are members of the board as well, and again, they will be the ones that will be taking care of all the other levels of all the other levels of positions that may be required at that point. I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear, and that was the assumption I made. I'm not sure if it was a correct assumption.
Chair, I think the argument raised by Honorable Kova is convincing, Chair. So I'm lobbying that let's stick to having three instead of saying all vacancies, because our mandate is always focusing on the board. No, Chair, I'm saying what is captured here, which limits the focus to three, is correct.
Any other 4-2, the HR? Can I just ask one question, Honourable Members, and I don't want just to belabor it. 4-2-5, we're saying the board should, I'm summarizing it, should be very circumspect in the appointment of a new company secretary. Did we anyway say that the current company, did we say anything about the current company secretary? I know we had this debate about was he or she appointed officially. And I'm just asking the question here. Let's take Matlango and then.
Chair, we hold a view that we can't, SABC does not have a company secretary currently.
Yeah. If that's what we're saying, then it's fine. I'm just pointing to possible areas. If that's our view, I can live with it. You're very quiet, Mokoena. Five, which is parliamentary oversight. 5.1 to 5.4. Oh no, before we go there, there's nothing else that members want to add on to HR. Have we covered all bases? Yes? Baba?
Chair, do we really need to say the board should be circumspect when we appoint a person? Let's say you are crafting an advert. Or do you use a terminology of that sort to say you have to be circumspect with regard to appointing? Or you say you must appoint an experienced individual with the necessary criteria and skills, you know? Do you introduce a precautionary measure, like using the word circumspect?
I would support that because we could also say the new board should appoint a new secretary, who in terms of the MOI, because the MOI, which derives from the Companies Act, stipulates that a person must have specific qualifications. So I think if we say that, then. But as I say, I think it's just important because it appears that sometimes the board in the previous history didn't understand what a critical role the company secretary is fulfilling, and that they are prescripts in legislation. Thank you, Chair.
No, Chair, my proposal is that let us maintain the interim board that must start the process. This is a very cheap effort. That is the link between the board and the organization. And therefore, that process will have to be started by the interim board. So we can, again, stroke the board. The interim board, stroke the board. So that you allow the interim board to come in, start the process. Imagine if they're going to start the process having to work with that incumbent that is there, fraudulently put there in the process. Just look at it. It does not address the problem. You know. So I'm saying that let it be. I know sometimes we think, I'll shame to the interim board. You know, I'll shame poor people who are loading them with work and all of that. But I think it's necessary that we have to move as quickly as possible to deal with that particular position. It's one of the key positions. So interim board should start that process.
Chair, I just wanted to remind the members that very quickly that the reason why this particular paragraph came in, that we actually even introduced with like such a circumspect. Probably we may do away with circumspect, I agree with what you put in. But let's remember that we had a highly qualified company secretary. We may have to have just one line that says, given the experience that we had, that the SABC had with the previous company secretary, was highly company secretary, was highly qualified to whatever in experience. The committee recommends that the interim board should be very thorough of in their appointment of the new company secretary or something like that. You know, so that they it takes into account. It also gets them into understanding the context under which we are saying this, because in any case, a company secretary must be qualified and whatever, whatever. But unfortunately, we were failed by somebody who's very qualified and experienced, who was not independent enough to say, no, this can't be done.
I think it's good. 5.2, I'm just concerned as to whether how a portfolio committee can review the funding model. There's a process in that, as we are engaging now with the medium-term budget process. Sorry, the whole budgetary process. So I'm not sure whether the portfolio committee of its own can review the funding model. It must be in conjunction, it's a number of players. Absolutely, National Treasury is the key one. The Portfolio Committee on Communication starts with the interim board. Come in, the Portfolio Committee, National Treasury, the Appropriations Committee. It's all these various elements, because the Communications Portfolio Committee can't change the funding model itself, it can suggest it. Then it's got to go via the whole process. Well, I think at this stage, just to put in together with National Treasury, should review the funding model. I think it's the mechanism is separate. The sentiment is key. The exact mechanism can be worked out. So let's just insert there that the portfolio committee, together with the interim board, comma new board, and National Treasury. That's 3 points. Should review the funding model.
Yeah, Chair. Thank you very much. On 5.1. Yeah, on 5.1. I know we observed that the parliamentary oversight had not been all that satisfactory, but I think to say the inquiry has revealed how inadequate parliamentary oversight had contributed to the disintegration and that, and then we go on to be holier than thou, and we are saying to the committee, you must be trained, you must be this and you must be that. I think it's a bit unfortunate that we are trying to put this in as a recommendation, because you know they can come back to us and say, what training did you have to consider this kind of thing? We've observed that there was inadequate oversight, but should we be so presumptuous and forthright to go and say we recommend that you be trained, that there should be capacity building, etc.? I'm asking this question aloud of us.
What are you recommending? No, even if you're the honourable members, if we've changed our mind, we must change our mind.
Recommending we leave it out.
It's general. It's for all MPs. Yeah, it's for all MPs.
So your recommendation is that we take it out. All right. Lolive, Prof, I mean, Doc, Prof, and then Waters.
Thanks, Chair. I recommend that 5.1, we take out everything and we are left with the committee, therefore recommends that members of parliament should receive adequate training and support to enable them to exercise their oversight responsibility competently and religiously.
Chair, it's unfortunate that I have to be, I always agree with Honorable Loliwe, but this particular one, Chair, I honestly think that we need to stipulate that such capacity building should include general training on legislative oversight, ethics and corporate governance, members of the of members of parliament, the majority of them, let's face it, they have never, most of them, they have never worked in the corporate world, and they don't understand corporate governance. And as a result, sometimes they may be found to be taking or supporting certain decisions, not because they are not, they don't understand legislative oversight, but simply because they don't understand the principles of corporate governance. Corporate governance. I would appeal to members that we need to put that in, because it's very important, especially to those portfolio committees that are responsible for overseeing entities that are not just involved in public business, but in public business related business, but also in commercial business activities.
I know, Chair, thank you. I know Honorable Dr. Khoza is very passionate about training. I have attended her training sessions, even in the past. But I would just, my worry is that the paragraph as such seems to be very facilitative. It goes everywhere. It spreads to the holier than thou level. Even if we know that members have got to be capacitated, I would have expanded it and would have begun with 5.2. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, with 5.1, I would leave the first paragraph. The inquiry has revealed how inadequate parliamentary oversight has contributed to the disintegration of governance and accountability at the SABC. I would scrap the rest about training, quite frankly. MPs get trained when we arrive, every term. Every MP is offered training. Also, MPs have an individual responsibility to read up on legislation pertaining to their portfolio. We all have that responsibility. And parties also do training for the MPs. And I would say that no matter how much training the Communications Portfolio Committee members received, there was no political will to hold the SABC to account at all. So for me, putting this issue in about training is irrelevant, quite frankly, and I do believe it's quite condescending to all members of Parliament. So I do agree. Remember we had this debate where, in fact, Honourable Van Damme was quite passionate, being a member of the Portfolio Committee, that not all members of the Portfolio Committee were derelict in their duties. Majority were, but not all. Some had raised the issues, and the majority had basically shut them down. So I would say that we leave the first sentence in, we make it general, that the inquiry has revealed that inadequate parliamentary oversight had contributed to the disintegration of governance and accountability at the SABC, and just leave it there, because I think that's a fact. Thank you.
I was going to reinforce the point raised by Honorable Loliwe, that at the end of that line, we then put in the parliamentary, which we operate with, the oversight and accountability model of parliament, which is a tool that is used for members to hold oversight and accountability, have to insist that, have a line that says that they, in line with what Honorable Lulu has raised, have a line that in fact brings to the fore that module of oversight and accountability. Members must be conversant with oversight, which is adopted by Parliament as how members must do oversight. So I thought that we should have that line, because it's the one that guides us as to how you hold the executive accountable, how to hold department accountable. That module is very clear, and Parliament has adopted that module.
Chair, it's very genuinely phrased. And let us take ourselves back to when the SABC 8 came and gave evidence. We all, and myself in particular as well, I apologized to them and I said, I'm sorry, I as an MP have failed you. So I accept personal responsibility for lack of oversight over the SABC. I'm not saying it's only the communications portfolio. We don't have a member there. So I agree that it's a fact that the inquiry has revealed how inadequate parliamentary oversight contributed to the disintegration of government. I accept that responsibility myself. It's not only the Portfolio Committee on Communication. It can be SCOPA. It can be other committees as well. So I think we've got to leave that there. The question about training is valid as well. I think we should add the issue of Dr. Khoza about ethics and corporate governance. That is critical as well. I've learned a huge amount as a lawyer sitting here with Mr. Mashlangu about the King and that, things that I didn't even know at this stage. So I think it's valid for us to be upfront and accept responsibility as well. Everybody out in the public knows that Parliament failed in, and we need to accept responsibility. It's very simple. It's not a big issue to debate about. Let's just be honest and accept responsibility. Not imputing it. The danger, I think, that members are saying we're only blaming the communications portfolio. But let's take a general acceptance here.
Chair, I'm really covered by Honourable Swart, and I also wanted to say, I mean, and by the way, we must remember, we are talking about a lawyer who is saying he has also learned a great deal on King 2, King 3 and whatnot, on corporate governance. Now, if you consider my own constituency and the number of the percentage of the members of the ANC, in particular in their constituencies, these people are coming from previously disadvantaged backgrounds. Chances of them having come across all these corporate governance things and so forth are very, very slim. And we must not just assume simply because we come from elitist backgrounds and we've been exposed in all these things and think that South Africa's problems have been solved. We are still living with our past, and that's the reality. And it is within that context that I honestly think that even if we leave out general training on legislative oversight, however the one on ethics and governance, corporate governance, I think it's absolutely critical.
Are we saying we leave it as it is? Yes. The whole thing. Fine. All right. Remember, the House will shoot us down if they think that we, as other members are saying, want to be holier than thou, because these are recommendations that the House will either adopt or reject. But we leave 5.1 as it is. 5.2, any questions or any comments?
Give me an extra minute in the debate, I will accept personal responsibility.
No? 5.2? Any comment? 5.2?
Ms. Killian, just about the interim board, I think you weren't too...
Okay, you fixed up, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was the one where we said, you've got to give us the word.
Look, National Treasury. National Treasury.
You got that, right? You got that, that's right. 5.3?
Just a reference to the broadcast, I think let's be consistent and just say SABC, SABC.
No, it's fine. I think let's go think about these things overnight and come about. You know, I'm just sitting and thinking, we go to Parliament and we're almost dictating to Parliament the program. And I know what we're saying, all of us, but we're now going to say to Parliament, we recommend that SCOPA must do this, the Portfolio Committee must do that, and we are a subcommittee of the House. I'm just saying, as we go through it, let's just think about it. But 5.3... we're happy with. 5.4.
If you think, you serve on SCOPA as prescriptive. If you think it's being too prescriptive, then we can water it down a bit.
No. I'm just saying, as we go, because we're going to have to defend this thing. We're going to have to defend it. Other members of parliament get this document. And they say, who does Mahlangu think he is? Who does Mahlangu think he is that he's coming to tell us? I'm just playing devil's advocate because we're going to have to take ownership of this document. We've been persistently saying we don't want to be seen as a super committee. We've been saying that all along. But here, we're almost acting, and I'm just speaking for myself. Here, we're almost acting like the super committee by saying to everybody, you need this, you need that, you haven't done that. That's all I'm saying, and I'm saying we don't have to debate it. Let's think about it when we get there tomorrow. I'm saying let's not debate it. We can discuss it tomorrow. I was just cautioning us to that point. Well, let's open it up to everybody if you're
a let's remove reference to committees. But if you say parliament, then it is beautiful.
To speak. Everybody,
no, I think Colonel Mahlangu has just covered it. We use parliament because our mandate generally was not to reflect much about the portfolio committee of parliament. So I think we can water it down and only just to deal with that part. But yeah.
And where we've got portfolios, because Honourable Swart, that's what you were saying earlier on. On 5.1, we were saying parliament. And then when we go to 5.2 and everywhere else, we're almost judgmental on other committees. So you understand what I'm saying? All those things will say parliament. Is that okay? Okay. Anything else on 5.3? I mean on point 5? Happiness? Honourable Linde, think about it. Killian and then Swart on 5, eh?
I just wanted to refer members to page 7 of the original document. On this document, it is captured as for consideration or for further discussion. I would like to firmly propose that on page 7, the section that is bold and underlined, that we insert that under 5 and makes it that we would make it 5.5. Portfolio or Parliament should ensure that the amendments to the Broadcasting Act serve the purpose of strengthening the legislation and the SABC without weakening oversight and accountability, and in particular, Parliament's role in the appointment and dismissal of non-executive board members. It is an important element, Chairperson, that we must capture to protect the oversight role of Parliament.
Any opposition to adding that as 5.5? Any more additions to 5? Thank you. 6 talks to SSA. Comments?
Chair, just to explain how it came about, there is a heading, 22.3 on document page 4. It was just an intro phrase. Committee recommends that the interim board should determine the nature of SSA's activities, and the suggestion in yellow is within the administration of the corporation. Remember, they have a role with vetting, but not in the administration. So that's the first point. Because the original 22.3.2 said the interim board should consider the nature of SSA's activities within the corporation. And I just thought maybe it's better to say within the administration of the corporation. But, you know, that is the first phrase. There's very little adjustment. And then it was split to say the portfolio committee should refer the matter to the... And I thought I would suggest that we make it a separate point, 6.2. The committee further recommends that the Portfolio Committee on Communications should refer the matter. Now, what matter? The matter of the alleged spying on employees of the SABC to the Inspector General of Intelligence for investigation. And then it reads the same as the rest. So it's just the insertion of that yellow section, because there were such allegations, and we believe it must be further investigated.
Comments? Honourable Swart and Waters, and then Chowker.
Is there any reason why we can't refer it to the Inspector General? Why must it go via the communications portfolio? There's evidence before us, and we just recommend that the Inspector General, are we able to? Or Parliament? Well, but we the committee are recommending that the Inspector General should investigate this. Isn't that easier?
Can we then move it up?
Chair, just on in the first paragraph, the committee recommends that the interim board should shouldn't it investigate the nature of, instead of if, that's just a typo, of the SAA's activity and involvement within the corporation. I don't think we should limit it to the administration. I think it went beyond the administration. Okay. And in the second paragraph, if you get that, you're very quick, I must say, this time of night especially. Okay, and then 6.2, the committee further recommends that we're saying Parliament should refer the matter of the alleged spying and interception of communication of employees. Remember, that was one of the issues. So spying is different to intercepting communication.
Yeah.
Well, I can just spy on you and observe you. No? That's just from the TV program. To the Inspector General of Intelligence for investigation, so as to establish, and it carries on, and it finishes, and to report its findings to Parliament. But I'd like to add something, and that this report must include... after Parliament.
Okay.
So the report that comes to Parliament must include an affidavit from the judge responsible for interception, because there's one judge that gives permission for communication to be intercepted, right? So we need to know that the SSA had permission, legally, to intercept communication at the SABC. So that this report to Parliament must include an affidavit from the judge responsible for interception, stipulating that she gave authorization for each individual's communication to be intercepted, because she's got to do it for each individual, and the motivation for such interception. She has to motivate as well. And this affidavit must form part of the report to Parliament. Because that will determine whether the interception by SSA was actually legal. Thank you.
Chair,
I think we must not go very deep and broaden unnecessarily an issue that required, because during the hearing, Chair, what we have... Okay. During the hearing, Chair, there are two or three areas of concern that were raised around the role of state security. One, it's like a rumor, nervousness, that people suspect that they've been listened to. That's why they prefer to go outside and talk and, you know, gossip, whatever that they do. So it's a rumor. The second one, Chair, is only the involvement of state security in the disciplinary processes. If you recall that certain disciplinary hearings had state security agents involved in that process. So let us not stretch it to a point that we even call the judge in one. Part of what we are trying to do, Chair, is to forge relationships between the state entities, meaning that because you're going to expect from the start that the state security play a critical role in working together with the interim board. And therefore, we may want to emphasize this point, that Chair, that the interim board, because see, it goes back not only to the issue of harassment, but it goes back to the principle that the interim board had to be start the process of vetting of officials and everybody. So let's build a relationship rather than creating more problems ourselves. And I'm going to propose that, Chair, what we do is that we stick to the point that we raised earlier, that the recommendation will be to refer the matters of state security intervention at the SABC to the Inspector General and to give a report to the board on these issues. Because on a day-to-day, the state security will be working with the board, the interim board. And the interim board is accountable to Parliament. Then the Committee of Parliament or Parliament can then call upon to understand how those processes are dealt with and all of that. Rather than creating a situation that requires judges to be, you know, to come on board, it may really unnecessarily create a tension, which we don't want. So we refer the matter as identified to the Inspector General, and the Inspector General will report to the interim board on these two areas that we have been this day, if any, involvement of state security in dealing with issues of discipline of officials of the SABC, I mean staff of SABC. And then again, to refer the Inspector General, if there's any other activities outside the mandated activities, you are dealing with the national key point at the same time, Chair. You'll understand that the role of state security becomes very critical in that regard. So it's not just a watch call. So I'm proposing that maybe the two areas, we refer them to the watch call, to the state security, but to report to Parliament, to watch call to the interim board. Interim board is accountable to Parliament, and Parliament can then do oversight over those issues.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, let us not try to prepare recipes for the ones that are going to take over from where we have left. To me, our saying we are recommending that Parliament should refer the matter on the unexplifying to the Inspector General for investigation. Everybody understands the processes that are to be followed when the investigation is to be taken up. Let us not go to the extent of outlining the steps for them, because if that is the issue of the judge is within law, it's a given factor that is going to be done. Thank you.
Sure. Chair, earlier on we spoke about training for members. Now, let's not fall into that trap that ourselves do not understand how these matters are dealt with in Parliament. There is no way a investigation on intelligence issues will be presented to Parliament. I mean, to the House. It doesn't happen. Such investigations go to the relevant committee, which is the Committee on Intelligence, after the Inspector General has investigated. So let's not come with recommendations that are not going to fly. It doesn't happen. It never happened. So let the matter be referred to the Inspector General, period. And the processes will unfold as to how then that gets processed. I think we're just asking for too much. It's not going to fly that way.
Chair, I think the recommendation... Chair, I think the recommendation as we have been captured today with that minor qualification, that intercepting of on employees, is fine.
And I think we should stop there. Let's not defeat our report where we are now coming with our own preconceived ideas about this, because it now presupposes that we may have prima facie evidence. Why are we going into evidence? That is, the judge must bring the evidence or whatever, because it's the only one. I don't think we should do that. I think let's stop there, and then we agree on this. And we've been doing very well, members. We've been agreeing on all these things.
No, Chair, I was going to suggest that in that last sentence we say, and to report its findings to the Minister of Intelligence, to the Portfolio Committee, or and to the Portfolio Committee, or to Parliament, right, for disciplinary considerations where necessary. No, I'm adding to the report, and report to its findings to the Minister of Intelligence and Parliament for disciplinary considerations when necessary. Because I don't think it would be possible, and you know, yeah, we have to be the logistics must be in line with policy. We can't investigate the Department of Intelligence and not report to the minister. So we have to report to the minister, but we have to report to Parliament as well, so that if anything has happened, that Parliament needs to take responsibility of in terms of discipline or whatever, then we've covered the ground. But I think it's important. Yeah, the Inspector General must still do that, but report to the Minister and to Parliament. But we must specifically say for disciplinary purposes where necessary, and where necessary is also necessary in the sense that we're then not presupposing anything.
Chairperson, I'm laboring under the impression that we don't have to overburden ourselves with so many, should I say, strategies. Once we report to Parliament, once the process has unfolded, then it will take its course. I don't believe that we'll have to involve the judge, etc. I think the way it is crafted here is modest enough that processes will then ensue from there. And I hear what Honorable Mngwena is bringing in, that when you do these investigations for intelligence, you have to bring in the Minister of Intelligence. Well, I can live with that. But I think we need to limit ourselves, and because all of this will be taken to Parliament and processes will be followed accordingly.
Thanks. Chair, since we're calling for the investigation as Parliament, then Parliament should receive the report. And once it comes here, it goes to a relevant committee anyway. That's the process that happens. So it's got to come to Parliament, not directly to a committee. That's the first thing. Secondly, we're not dealing with rumours here. We're dealing with allegations from people, and quite a lot of them. And the only relationship the SSA should have with the SABC is that of vetting certain individuals when they if they fit to work there or not. From a security point of view, that's all. Nothing else. And the allegations have been, and we stated here, that there's alleged spying of employees and interception of communications. It's a very serious matter, right? Given the history of what's just been happening at the SABC. And the reason why we should put the condition as well, or the added sentence of the judge, is because there's a specific judge that deals with communication interception. And only she can authorize it. No one else. Only she. So the fact of the matter is, if she hasn't given authorization, that's why she must be asked. And we can't assume that the investigation will actually ask her that. We can't assume that. And that's why we've got to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. So I'm still saying that we put that sentence in, that the judge responsible for interception must provide affidavits stipulating that she gave authorization for each individual's communication to be intercepted and the motivation for each interception, because that's what she has to do. That's the law. So we're not breaking the law by asking for that. And these affidavits must form part of the report to Parliament. If they're going to investigate, they may as well get that information from the judge. It's not going to place the Inspector General under tremendous stress, I can assure you.
I think the point I'm making, I'll come to you, Honourable Singh. I think the point that everybody's making, I mean, the Inspector General, we appointed just the other day. And I'm sure the Inspector General, if we say there are allegations of interception and spying, investigate and report to Parliament, I'm sure they know the processes to follow, that I would have to get this and that. I think that's what we're saying now. And what members are saying here is it necessary to do that, because that would be par for the course. It will be par for the course for the investigation. It will go to Parliament, or it will go to the Joint Standing Committee through Parliament, and they will do the necessary follow-up and so on. I think that's where we are. We're not arguing about the investigation. It's just about the level of detail we want to put in here. I think that's where we're at, and of course we talk about that. Can we trust the inspecting judge to say, go and do a good job? No, I'm thinking of Inspector General of Intelligence. Yes? Oh, Mr. Singh, then what is, if you still, because that's what the general sentiment is, but we'll give you a second bite now that
Chair, I agree.
Come to you, and then it's going to be Singh, Mukwena, Waters. Singh, Mukwena, but yeah, I'm giving them too much, eh?
Yeah.
Let's take Singh. I don't think Singh.
Chair, I just want to say that I agree that it would be a matter of course that whether they to determine whether it was legal or illegal, the action, you'll have to ask the judge. That's how you're going to determine it. And we've got members on the JSCI who we can talk to and say, guys, when this comes up, make sure you put this question there. Did they contact the judge? How else are you going to determine whether it's legal or not legal? You can ask the judge. So I don't think it's necessary to overemphasize that particular aspect. Yeah.
The only thing that we must say is that it is for disciplinary purposes. Why are we bringing the report here? Is it for us to debate it in the House? Is it for us to write a book about it? No, it's for disciplinary purposes where necessary. And that's the only addition I would fight for. Thanks, Chair.
We'll also lobby our colleagues, because we've all got representatives in the committee. We'll say, look, when this, as Singh was saying, when this thing comes, make it whatever. Honourable members, it's 1 o'clock.
I haven't said anything, but...
Oh, I beg your pardon.
No, it's just... Dr. Khoza often reminds us about process. If we had 2 minutes per person, then we must stick to that. So the last issue, we went round and round and round and round. And I know it's late and you've been very indulgent, but maybe we can just stick to it. Once you've spoken once, it's finished. You can't come back and then want to rehash. The person that presents it can finalize the debate. Just otherwise, we're going to sit again throughout the whole night. Okay?
That's where I was getting to, Honourable Members. I mean, we could be crude, but I don't want us to fight. We've got 3 pages, and I was looking at it at 1 o'clock. I'm assuming from your comment, Honourable Swartz, you're suggesting that we push through with about 3 or 4 points. That's what the suggestion is. Okay. Point 7 is legislative framework. And it goes... No, it's just one point? legislative framework, 711. Not going into long detail, yes.
Chairperson, just wanted to say it's paragraph 23.1.1. There was just an omission after the second line at the end. There's an exact line that was inadvertently omitted. I don't know how it came about. It is still in the document. I will show Cindy. It should just read the courts and other competent authorities, such as the PPSA, ICASA, and the AG. The committee, therefore, and then it goes to the next line, recommends. 7.1.1 at the top of page 7. Are you with me, Chairperson?
Yeah, I think, as long as Cindy has covered it, because we'll have another chance to read it. It's disadvantages us because we don't have that. You want us to go to the old document?
I just wanted to refer you...
If you show it to us where it is in the old document, yeah. And you're suggesting we take it from there to the new document,
correct.
Refer the members to the old document. It's on page 1 of the old document.
I have...
Page 5. Page 5 on this. Remember
yeah.
Where the document that we gave you just now, that said...
Correct. 23.1.1.
Yeah. Can members go to that document?
It's just the third line there was just left out. I don't know how it came about. It's the authority such as PB, just that line must just be inserted.
7.2, unilateral policy changes. And remember, as we speak, if you want to change the heading or the whatever we call that, you can do that. 7.2, anybody wants to, Honourable Waters?
Yes, it's just a duplication, I think. In the third line, which is, as well as the alleged bonuses paid to certain categories of workers which were done without following the due process, if you look at 4.1.1, which you've dealt with, it's covered there. I'm just going to just have a look to make sure I'm right, because this time of the night one could also be seeing things. So if that's right, I think it should just come out. And then at the end, where it says the last sentence and all consequential legal challenges as per the provisions of the PFMA and any other applicable legislation, just to cover ourselves. That's all I would suggest.
All right. Can I just also go to that one? Can I just go to that one as well and take from where Honourable Swart spoke? You see there, we say the board must appoint an external consultant. Now, I can tell you this thing of consultant is a swear word. And we're going to say appoint consultants. Can we not say the board must institute an investigation? Because we can't be... advocating for consultants, number one, and secondly, Mr. Singh's point about the financial implications. We have financial implications to investigate financial implications. So the board will institute an investigation to evaluate the whatever. Happiness? Happy people, up the box.
At the end, after PFMA and any other applicable legislation.
Yeah. 7.3, consequence management proposed new recommendation. I'm assuming that somebody introduced that recommendation. Let's go to 7.3. Anybody wants to speak to it? Honourable Waters?
Well, I'll be quicker than that. And after PFMA says and other, any other, should be just any there. And at the end where it says should be held liable for financial losses incurred by the SNPC and or face criminal charges. Yeah, thank you, sir.
And this is specific to 72, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any comment? Other than that, fine. Yes, ma'am?
If it is linked to 72, why don't we make 172, 1722? Because once we say 73, it's as if we are starting something new.
We can look at that?
All right, and of course, all other stuff we will sort out. South African Broadcasting Production Advisory Board, Honorable Mokoena, have we covered your points?
No, the way it's put is it's non-committal. The committee doesn't believe. It must recommend, because at the moment, that body is not doing anything, right? So the committee recommends that the recently established South African Broadcasting, whatever, must contribute positively towards ensuring greater compliance with the SABC's licensing requirements, especially as it regards, it relates to local content, public participation, and artist royalty. I would also add, Chair, that because remember the body's role is to advise the minister, right? So I would also add that the minister must the South African Broadcast Production the advisory body must play a more active role in advising the minister on policy issues around the SABC and the public.
More effective, yes.
No. I think more effective is better. Because at the moment they're not doing anything. They're not advising the minister. She doesn't know what's going on. Effective role in advising the minister as per in the Broadcasting Act.
Yeah.
It's in the Broadcasting Act Chapter 8.
Reminding you that please refer to all our other documents to make sure that we're not leaving out stuff that was there. 9-1 and 9-2 comments, if any.
Parliament must not should, must refer any violations of the, and then insert constitution first. Then it goes Privileges Act, the Executive Code of Ethics, and or the Broadcasting Act, right, to the Ethics Committee and the Presidency, the Presidency, or the Public Protector, for investigation and to take appropriate action, right? Which I'm carrying on, which could include. Are you right, Cindy? Which could include, but it's not limited to the institution of charges. Yeah.
Which could include, by other words,
the institution of charges. Okay.
Okay, we're dealing with 911 and 912. And after one, this is on the Oliver.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, 911, I propose that second sentence to say the committee is of the view that the minister in the. Yes, Chair. Second sentence. The committee is of the view that the minister interfered in some of the board's decision making and processes. In some of the decision making processes. The second one, Chair, in the inclusion of the institutions for referral on page 8. When Honorable Waters includes the public protector, I am not sure whether that is fed along each other or after we have exhausted internal processes, because I'm afraid of us subjecting this to internal processes but at the same time referring it to outside processes. So I want to concretely propose that within our scope, let's refer this to the internal processes. Then if there's a need, the Committee on Communication will take the matter further. Thanks, Chair. I mean your Ethics Committee, which is a parliamentary committee. I mean the Presidency, which is also within the scope of Parliament. Then with the Public Protector, that decision should be deferred to a later stage, which can be taken by the Portfolio Committee on Communication if a need arises. Thanks, Chair.
Suggesting we take out the public protector. That's what Loliwe is suggesting. We'll come back to Waters at the end of the day. Kwanza, Mkwena,
I agree with Loliwe regarding the public protector, and can I just stand my 2 minutes down? I will come back only if it is necessary.
Honorable Mkwena, you come from.
Yeah, I have a problem with the 911.
Okay.
I think it's watered down, Chair. I think it should read as follows. That the committee found the minister to display incompetence Well, I'm just replacing. I'm just replacing the first. The first.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first line, actually. The committee found the minister to display incompetence in carrying out a responsibility as shareholder and negligent of her responsibilities. To oversee the running of the SABC. It is of the view that the minister interfered, that line is fine. The second one, the first line. Just the first sentence, yeah, I'll replace it with, yeah, because I think it's factually correct. And then maybe in the next sentence, instead of saying the committee, we could say it is of the view that the minister interviewed in the whatever. Yeah, because we started the first sentence with the committee. Is of the view, right? Yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter. Now, the problem with that line is that it's not a recommendation, it's an observation. Right? So, we must then make a recommendation. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. That is correct. Yeah, no. So, in the... Yeah, just the first sentence, yeah. The second sentence is fine. Yeah. No. The whole paragraph is not a recommendation. So the recommendation comes in the next paragraph. Yeah, that was my thinking. So what we should actually be doing is to combine 9.11 with 9.12. Because 9.11 is not a recommendation, it's just an observation. So if we combine the two, then we are saying in view of this, then all political interference at the thinking at the S at So 9.11, yeah, okay, right, and then the ethics committee and the presidency for processing and to mete out appropriate corrective action, including dismissal.
There are three areas here that I want to come back to.
transgression of the minister is the issue of the removal of the board members. I mean, I'm now talking, coming back, so that it informs our recommendation. Is the removal of board members, the appointment of Mutwene. Yeah. Yeah, no, because we'll have to input that. What I expect is that when you do a recommendation, Yes, exactly. No, that's the removal of board members. And you remember that they said that minister participated in the removal of board members, which was against the right? The second part of it is the appointment of Mutwene, which all of us know that was the appointment of Mutwene. The third one is the MOI that was amended. But at the same time, it's a mandate to amend, but the process that was not followed, that MOI was never launched with the EC code, so therefore it becomes illegal because the process was never, so that's fully implemented by CIPRO. So therefore, Chair, as we structure our recommendations, we must be able to pin down within these three areas of transgression. I don't have a problem with referral, you refer them to the shareholder, I mean the executive, a code of ethics, can refer them there, but we must be able to pin them down. On the following grounds, the committee recommends that the sanction must be taken against the So you have the ground. Then the ethics committee will then evaluate on the basis of what we have now identified the key areas of the referral. Rather than just throwing it, the ethics committee will in fact struggle to get exactly what are the issues. So I'm saying that we have to list those three issues and therefore recommend. So in the absence, in removing 9.1.1, we can then put this translation there. I don't have a way to put them together, but I think that will help you, will help us, Chair, to be able to pin down into a recommendation. But ethics committee, if you refer to ethics committee is going to evaluate, you know, this transgression. Vice versa, their mandate, the power of the minister, you know, and we have, that's why earlier we emphasized the point that the MOI was never submitted, meaning that it was never launched with CIPRO, so therefore it then got into operation while it was not. So I'm saying that all those three areas, which I've identified, and other colleagues will have identified other areas, I've only identified these three, and then we can then say accordingly, I don't have a problem with, even if we to refer it to the president to look at this, it's not a problem. For me, the point I'm making is that let's identify these issues. That's the only way, in fact, in the entire report, that we're going very detailed on someone that must take an action. The rest is that further investigation, here we are now like saying that here action must be taken. I don't have a problem with that, Chair. You must understand me. I'm simply saying that let's list those things properly so that when that action, when that recommendation is made, it's informed by those issues.
I want to... Chairperson, I want to agree with Honourable Chauke and support the proposal that we put down these transgressions. Right? But after that, I think it behoves us to recommend to the President that whilst we recognize his constitutional right to appoint members of the cabinet, we feel that he should seriously reconsider the desirability of the current minister to retain this particular portfolio. To retain this particular portfolio. And I'm saying this because these are serious transgressions. We can't say to the president, you have to remove or replace or put somebody else in this place. But I believe that the transgressions are so serious that the president has to reconsider the retention of this particular minister in that portfolio. Thank you. So I'm proposing that we recommend that to the president.
Yeah, Chairperson, I wanted to align myself with the Honorable Waters on his inclusion of the public protector. I feel that there is no harm including the public protector. The fact that we say Parliament must refer the matter to all the institutions which are internal, and then we include the public protector. It's like previously we included the Inspector General. Including the public protector does not mean that at the end of the day Parliament will do that. But this is what we are recommending. Parliament may, even if we said must, may refer to the public protector. That's my take. That I wanted to align myself with Waters.
Chair, this is obviously a very important issue, and I appreciate the comments that have been made. I would just think that there's a distinction between the President operating in terms of his executive authority and taking steps that he can, and the other violations of the Privileges Act, Executive Code of Conduct, where we say, and to mete out appropriate corrective action, that almost assumes that we are going to impose corporal punishment. You mete out corporal punishment. I would say, and, comma, if necessary, comma, to order appropriate corrective action, because you are presuming a guilty finding. There is very serious allegations. Mr. Singh correctly says there are enough allegations for the president to reconsider the minister's appointment, but you still have to, and that's a presidential appointment, that's separate, that doesn't, I don't think there's a disciplinary action there, but when you're going through a breach of code of ethics, Privileges Act, there must be a process. You can't presume guilt. We can't say mete out appropriate corrective, that's presuming guilt. So we've got to just say, and where found guilty even, or to order appropriate corrective action, or if necessary. I don't know how to, you've got to just phrase it a bit stronger. And, comma, if found guilty, comma, to order appropriate action, or something like that.
Chair, thank you. I guess the other matters that we are raising in this regard will be matters for debate in the House. We're not going to agree. Look, I've been making this observation and argument that the MOI that was lodged in 2014 gives the minister the powers that he has exercised to fire board members. That's it. It is there. And we've earlier indicated that it is against what we call the Broadcasting Act, but it is there, and it is on the basis of that act or of that MOI that she took the decision. So we're not going to win on that one. I mean, even if we would like to, I think we're asking for too much. That matter must be corrected. I guess the only major issue for me is the appointment of Zwening. The amendment, yeah, I did say earlier on, it would be crucial that we pick up the areas where the amended MOI has been used outside the original one that was lost. And unless we present those things, it's going to be difficult. So what you call Chauke has presented three matters. I'm saying the first one is going to fall off immediately because of the MOI that is there. And we must prove the other one, the amended one that we're now talking about, which was never lodged. So the question is, failure to lodge, is that the issue? If it's failure to lodge, you must say so. And then the recommendations that were presented earlier, referring to the president and the ethics, would be the proposals by my friend here next door. I think I will not support them. They are not just going to take us anywhere. And that's why my view is that we can use those debates, I mean those arguments in the debate. I am saying the proposal, Chauke raises three matters. I'm saying the first matter is going to fall off, which is the removal of board members. It falls off because, yes, and then we are left with two, which is the appointment of Mzweni and the MOI amendment, which was not lodged. And I'm saying, if that's what he's talking about, it's fair, then we can then follow on the recommendations to the president as well as the ethics committee. And that's why, and then the rest that we've been putting in what Mkwena was saying, I'm saying, well, I personally will not support those views, and we can use them as debates when we deal with the report. We can expect that, and I think that for us to overcome this matter, we'll possibly, if there's one matter that we may need to vote first to do this one.
You know, Chair, there is nothing I enjoy like working with Honorable Swart, because most of the time, even when we are trying to politic and we try to find, you know, things to venture, he always comes and stabilizes the environment. And I really concur with what he had proposed. Chair, angisho ngesiZulu lento. Uyabona leli committee, akulona committee elibhecayo. Elphenyayo. NgesiZulu sisho njalo kithini. In other words, I need to remind the members that this is an inquisitorial committee. Ukuphenya lo. Hayi. Accusatorial obhecayo. And therefore, Chair, I think what we need to do is to remember, first of all, let me just take quickly this thing of adding the public protector. You know, there is a very, very strong warning that Chief... Okay. No. Chief Justice warned us that we must not use the... You know, I think he was directing it to us, but he was speaking in a different context. That the constitutional court must not necessarily be the vehicle to be used to resolve political matters where we are not agreeing on political issues, then we think we are going to use that. And in the same vein, I am saying we can't, as parliament, having not even explored our own internal processes, we are now saying public protector. The public protector is supposed to be dealing with the members of the public. Now we are also going there as parliament. I mean, think about it. Public protector, we are in trouble here. Please intervene, public protector. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. And we have mechanism. In short, Chair, all I'm saying is that I think let's rather, instead of, you know, when there is that sentence, in fact, I suggest that we have one paragraph under this role of the shareholder representative. We bring that all political, in other words, we bring 9.1.2, all political interference in the SABC board operation must be condemned. We bring it there so that it doesn't form its own paragraph. Now, there I agree with Honorable Mukwena. Because earlier on you were saying, you know, we need to be coming with the recommendation. If we leave 9.1 as 9.1, it looks like we are still making an observation or we are making a finding. But if we bring that to there, we connect it as one paragraph, it becomes a recommendation, because 9.1.2 actually addresses that. And then we forget about the issue of asking Parliament to go to the public protect. But if someone does something like that, we should also go to the journey. Now go to any, so we turn around to Parliament and say, "So the public protect us." Aye.
Okay.
Chairperson, I would like to concur that we don't make this matter the subject for the public protector to investigate. It really doesn't make sense. We must do our own work. So therefore, yes, if there are any evidence of violations of the Privileges Act, etc., we can take the route of the Ethics Committee. That is appropriate. But I would also like to suggest that we broaden. We must respect the Constitution. We are the legislative arm. The President, in terms of the Constitution, specifically Section 85 and Section 91(2), is the head of the executive. We are reporting about what we regard as a serious shortcoming, and that we should therefore report this matter, and I would like to sponsor wording for that. And that is that in view of the evidence presented regarding the deficient role of the shareholder representative, the President should exercise his constitutional prerogative in terms of Section 85 and 91(2) and to implement appropriate corrective action. Full stop. If we do that, then we make sure that we highlight the matter. Because this matter is of a, we have found very serious, deficiencies with overseeing the role of the public broadcaster, but that we then report it and say, take appropriate action. So that would be my recommendation, because if we do that, then we respect our role as a legislative arm, because we must hold institutions accountable. And the President hires and fires. And if we do that, then we have done our duty. But he is also exercising his prerogative.
Thanks. Chair, just to answer the two questions, if you look at the Executive Members Ethics Act, the only person you can refer any violations to is the Public Protector, according to the Act. And so I'm not making it up. So, you know, you have to refer to the Public Protector. That's the Act. You can't refer to Parliament and you can't refer to the President. And that's Section 3. If the Executive Members Ethics Act, if it's violated, you've got to refer that matter to the Public Protector. So that's why we've got to include the Public Protector. So, and then just to answer Honourable Swart's question, maybe I wasn't clear, if I can just reread the sentence with my changes. So it reads, in addition, from the yellow, Parliament must, not should, must actually, refer any violations of the Constitution, Privileges Act and the Executive Code of Ethics and or the Broadcasting Act to the Ethics Committee, the Presidency and or the Public Protector for investigation and to take appropriate action, which could include but is not limited to the institution of charges.